Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Have you ever heard a loud noise and had to pause to figure out if it was a gunshot or not? Fireworks, cars backfiring. To an untrained ear, those crackling pops sound so similar to gunfire, it's difficult to know the difference between them. And in a crisis situation, the few minutes it might take to understand if what you heard was an actual gun firing and to call the police, well, it might be too late. That's the concept behind ShotSpotter, a system designed to detect gunshots through hidden microphones and send a follow-up alert directly to a dispatcher. And it's a system that many cities nationwide are debating whether to adopt. Though it might sound like a solution to gun violence, there's a long ongoing debate over whether ShotSpotter technology belongs in cities, not to mention the mounting evidence piling up against its use. Jonathan Manis is an attorney with the MacArthur Justice Center. He and other lawyers argued that murder charges against a Chicago man named Michael Williams should be dropped because the evidence provided by this technology was too weak. The judge dismissed the case earlier this year. Jonathan Manis joins us now. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi.
Could you begin by telling us exactly how ShotSpotter works?
Absolutely. So the system is supposed to detect the sound of gunshots and determine their location. And it does that by wiring up neighborhoods with about 15 to 20 microphones per square mile. Those microphones are typically up high on top of lampposts or buildings, and they're always listening. And what happens is that when one of those microphones or some of those microphones detect a loud bang, they send an audio clip to ShotSpotter's central computers. ShotSpotter then runs the sound through a couple secret algorithms that are supposed to distinguish gunshots from other sounds and determine the location. And then ultimately an employee, rather, at one of ShotSpotter's sort of call center style facilities actually decides whether to trigger an alert that dispatches police. And that employee can override the computers if they want to. So it's up to them basically to dispatch police.
And why would this be useful to cities? Is this to get as early a jump on possible gun violence?
ShotSpotter says that it's in more than 120 cities across the country and abroad as well. The idea is that the system is supposed to get police officers out to the location of a shooting more quickly. But we looked at data in Chicago, and somewhat shockingly, what we found was that 9 times out of 10, when police chase down one of these ShotSpotter alerts, they end up reporting finding nothing. No gunshot, no shell casings, no victims, nothing having to do with a gun at all. So it raises real questions about whether the system is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very small percentage where it actually detects a gunshot. So in these cases where they think they found something, what happens then? And especially, like, how did it lead to somebody spending a year in prison accused of murder when they didn't do anything?
So the trouble is that police officers sort of treat a ShotSpotter alert as if it's 100% accurate when it's absolutely not. And in the case of Michael Williams, our client actually, he was falsely accused of murder because police believed a gunshot happened in a particular place where they thought our client was. He spent 11 months in jail, falsely accused of murder, until the prosecutors eventually conceded the ShotSpotter evidence couldn't be used and admitted they had no evidence against him. He's a free man now. Mm-hmm. Every day, you know, when police are responding to these ShotSpotter alerts, they're going out into communities and stopping people, frisking them, because the person just happens to be in the place that a ShotSpotter alert went off. It's creating very hostile and dangerous encounters.
I was also reading that a motherboard investigation found the company's sensors in some cities like Chicago, Cleveland, Atlanta, are being placed almost exclusively in majority Black and Brown neighborhoods.
That's absolutely true. This technology is deployed overwhelmingly in communities that are predominantly Black and Brown, and it's fueling the kinds of hostile over-policing practices that people have been protesting against and trying to dismantle for years now. And so it's no wonder that the local opposition in cities across the country is being driven by community groups and leaders and experts from the Black and Brown communities that are almost always subject to this kind of surveillance.
Dayton, Ohio, has just decided to cancel their contract with ShotSpotter. Are other cities following suit?
Yeah, there is an active debate in cities across the country, from Detroit to Buffalo to Cleveland to Seattle, Portland, San Diego. Cities and police departments are rethinking whether it's worth the money for this kind of technology and what the harms are to people living in communities surveilled by it.
It's purported by the company as kind of a gun violence prevention method. Has it proven to work that way in any of the cases that you're aware of?
There's very little research showing that this helps. In fact, most of the research shows that it has no effect on gun violence. And, you know, the shocking thing about ShotSpotter is that even though it's been on the market for 20 years, it's never been properly tested to see if it even works. There's never been any published testing of the system against fireworks or cars backfiring to see how often the system gets triggered by loud noises that aren't gunshots. So I think it's worth taking the claims of the company with a healthy grain of salt.
Jonathan Manus is an attorney with the MacArthur Justice Center. Thanks so much for joining us, Jonathan.
Thank you. I appreciate it.